Hello and welcome to the Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. I'm Sarah Polinchek. Today, why youth sports makes parents crazy and what you can do about it.
All righty. I'm John Summers Flanagan. Two things I'd like to say to begin with. Mm-hmm. One is thank you to the Charles Engelhardt Foundation and NPEN, the National Parenting Education Network, for their support of this podcast. Also, I want to say the second thing, never in my life have I been more consistently and surprisingly emotionally activated than when watching or working with my daughter as she engaged in athletic activities. And never did I feel more activated, and I knew better.
John, I have to say this makes me laugh a little bit. I've known you for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think of you as someone with pretty good emotional regulation. So to hear this surprises me a little bit, and I kind of wish I'd seen it.
Well, you really don't wish that.
I do. But let's listen to a clip of what Dr. Colin Fair told me in a recent interview.
Okay.
The sport is about the kids, to benefit the kids. And parents a lot of times think, oh, well, I want to provide this great experience for their kids. But the parents are doing it for themselves, not necessarily for the kids, and they get that mixed up.
Yeah.
So the best thing the parents can do really is remove themselves. They're not the coach. You see that a lot where they try and coach their kid, or they undermine their coach, which completely destroys the experience because the kid doesn't trust their coach because the parent's saying that, and then the kid's not going to have a good relationship with their coach, and then there's issues with teammates. It's just the whole thing is bad. But the parents' role should be, they should be silent sources of encouragement. They're there for their kid. They can go and they can cheer and they can support, but they're not there to coach them and criticize them and do the different things. It's okay if they play with them, like help them practice and do those things, and they can give them their general feedback. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard on kids. There's very few parents who actually can be their kid's coach. From a coaching perspective, that's a big message from me to parents is, let me coach. Mm-hmm. I'm the coach. Let me do my job. And you be a parent. You stand over here and do what you can. You can have your opinions, but it's really, really important that you keep those to yourself. Mm-hmm. Because it's just going to get in the way. And I'm trying to create a trusting, mutual relationship between me and each of my athletes. And if you're over here on their shoulder disagreeing with my methods or things that I'm doing, then that's, you're not helping your kid. They think that they're helping their kid, but all they're doing is undermining the coach, which creates a lack of trust. And then if they don't trust, then they're not going to be as good as they can be. It's all about the kids. Mm-hmm. It's not about you as a parent. You can view your kids as an investment. I put in all this time and I want my kid to get a scholarship or to go pro or to do whatever, make this money so then they can take care of you. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's about the kid and them having a positive experience. And you can provide that for them by signing them up for the club or whatever. But once you do that, your job is done. Mm-hmm. You get out of the way.
What Colin is saying to you really reminds me of what I heard from a basketball coach one time when I was in a meeting for parents. And he said he wanted us all to know you can be a player, you can be a coach, you can be a ref, or you can be a fan. Just pick one.
So you can't be all those at one time.
You can't be all those at one time. And if you're sitting in the stands and you're being a fan, you shouldn't be thinking that you're reffing.
And playing, and you could do a better job at all of them
or
than
coaching.
All the people. Right, right. Yeah. So I think that's really good advice.
It is good advice. It's excellent advice. But like a lot of advice, it is rational, it is straightforward, and it is almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's impossible because, and I'm going to say this, it's kind of a Freudian takeoff, that I think that being a sport parent is the royal road to emotional insanity. I'm getting pretty dramatic.
And I've seen examples of this emotional insanity.
Never in me, though.
Well, no, I missed it, unfortunately. But I wonder why. What's going on with parents? You know, I mean, what is happening for all of us that we can kind of go to that place when we're watching us play sports? Our kids play sports.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with that really typical and obvious thing, and that is, we get over-invested and we over-identify with our kids, mm-hmm. and we think somehow that their performance is a direct reflection of us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, in some cases, we're hoping that their performance will be kind of a manifestation of us fulfilling our hopes and dreams. Mm-hmm. And so we put all that onto our kids' performance. I think it's easy and natural for that to happen. It is not healthy. It's not good, but yeah.
It's not. And so what I'm sensing here when I hear you talk is that parents really need to do some emotional preparation to be a good sports parent. Let's jump into that.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I think step one for me has to do with self-awareness and getting intellectual about it, because it is so emotional that we, at least some of us, and I don't know if this is the same for you. I'm curious. Do you find yourself emotionally activated by your children's athletic performance?
I do. I've gotten a little bit better, but no, I really do. And I always am trying to think at the same time that I'm feeling activated, what is this about for me? Like, why am I getting so worked up? It's really kind of fascinating to step out and look and try to really figure out what's going on. And it's complicated. It's like an emotional stew happening.
Yeah. I think my dad was better than I was. Mm-hmm. And I played sports, you know, for a long time. I played college baseball a little bit, a little college football. And so I think, and I knew better, right? I mean, I know that, you know, my daughter's performance, their performance is different than me. And it's not even the same sport.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I've got this really high level of standard that I'm putting out on them. So I think reading about it, I think talking about it, mm-hmm. like we're doing right now, mm-hmm. and if we feel like we got some, you know, leftover stew, you know, we're stewing about that. It's good to talk about. I think it's good to listen to other people and to listen to podcasts like this one about this issue. It's really important also, maybe the most important, is to prepare for it, because it will happen. It's inevitable for many of us. And now I know there are some people who feel a little less hooked, but for many of us, it's natural, it's inevitable, it's going to happen. We better prepare.
Well, and I like that, because in all facets of parenting, preparing instead of reacting is usually a really good thing. So we want to be prepared that, gosh, things might not go the way I expect. I've put a lot into this. I've bought a lot of expensive equipment. Mm-hmm. I'm recognizing I have a lot of investment here, and it might not go exactly how I want. How am I going to respond if my child doesn't turn out to be the best pitcher ever? Or
I like what you said, preparing mm-hmm. instead of reacting. Mm-hmm. You have said that before, and it's just really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen some of that reacting on the sideline that maybe made you wonder if the person should have done some preparation?
I have. Yes, I've seen so much, really. And I always have to question, gosh, I wonder how, if this person were in a more prepared place, mm-hmm. how they would feel about their behavior. What kind of impact do they think this behavior is going to have on their child as an athlete? Mm-hmm. You know, if they really could take a pause and think about it, when they're screaming at them and saying negative things, things that are harsh, they're really giving lots of advice and lots of directions, how is that going to have a positive impact on their athlete? One of the hardest things I witnessed, and I witnessed this quite a bit actually, was some parents that would be saying things like, kill him. You're not being tough enough. Come toughen up, kill that player. And it's just hard. These were 10, 11, 12-year-old kids.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I remember seeing some stuff like that as I was just walking by a little Grizzly football game mm-hmm. and hearing parents yell those kinds of things. And wow, I thought it was a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I played football at a really high level for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that would not be helpful for me to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Just wouldn't be helpful. In fact, I think it would be destructive. I remember one person I heard yelling, get your head in there and hit him. Well, that's just a terrible idea because of all we know about concussion in football.
Right.
I got my head in there and I hit people too often, and I probably am suffering now from that. So parents will yell bad advice from the sideline. What John O'Sullivan, and I quoted him on our last episode about kids in sports, he says one thing you should do, and this is a nice intellectual activity, is to visualize what do you want to see in your child when 20 years later your child has grown up. What are the values? What are the traits? What are the behaviors you want to see and instill in your kids? And then try to align or match up your sideline and after the game behavior so that it's likely to move your kid in that direction.
I really like that. And that's one of the things we talked about in the last episode is all of the many, many benefits to mm-hmm. kids in sports is that they translate into such critical life skills when kids get older. So I think thinking in those terms is a really good idea. But I keep thinking about these people that yell things like, kill him and other really harsh things. And I just wondered, maybe they would be thinking, gosh, we're just a couple of liberal pansies and we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, we are a couple of liberal pansies. No, we're not necessarily. I think of myself as a moderate. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a good point. A lot of kids and adults probably are not adversely affected by aggressive talk. Mm-hmm. And I think the research on aggression in video games and on television is similar in that most people are not terribly adversely affected. They are a bit desensitized. Mm-hmm. But there is a select, my counter would be, but there are some kids who are. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a minority, perhaps, of kids who are adversely affected by that kind of aggressive talk, I think that's a good reason to try to modify it and to not have that aggressive talk. Mm-hmm. And again, I played for a lot of years. I was very aggressive.
Yeah.
And I'm just not a supporter of that aggressive talk. I think a lot of high-level professional football players would say that kind of talk is ridiculous.
It's not helpful, right? And also right. It adds to kind of a negative contagion on the sidelines that everyone experiences in a way that just isn't good overall.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the myths that John O'Sullivan talks about in his book, and that is that a lot of parents somehow think that they're making a big investment in this youth sports thing because that'll get their kid an athletic scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he kind of debunks that myth and says, in fact, almost all parents would be way better off starting a 529 and
right.
investing the travel money that they spend on those traveling teams in that. They would save more money that way. So it's not really a financial investment. And I think maybe if parents can stop thinking about it that way, they can take some of their ego investment out of it, and maybe that will take some of the edge off, and they won't need to holler such aggressive things from the sideline.
And I like thinking about kids when they're not being viewed as a commodity. I think that's a nicer way to view our children, just that they're enjoying an activity that has so many benefits, but they're not going to bring us the $1 million.
Probably not.
So now we have some thoughts from Dr. Collin again.
Excellent.
I think one of the best things that anybody, parent or coach or bystander, whoever, can ask a kid after they come off the field is not whether you won or lost or whether you did awesome or whatever, but it's what did you learn? So it's creating a dialogue that's built around growth and development rather than, well, did you win or did you lose? Oh, you need to do this next time. You need to do that to win.
Right.
Because kids don't always like hearing that from a parent. Kids don't feel like their parents are going to love them or accept them if they don't win. It's an unhealthy dynamic for a kid to come off and think because they lost that their dad's going to get mad at them and be upset and be angry with them. Your self-worth shouldn't be based off of the outcome of a contest.
Okay, so in here, Dr. Collin talks about what to say instead of if you won or lost. And he referenced talking about maybe asking the kids, what did you learn after a rough game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's not a bad idea, but my kids would have hated it.
My son would hate it. Well, I have one son that would hate it and one son that might tolerate it okay.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to be, it's a good question, mm-hmm. but I think it needs to be couched in compassion, and the timing is probably really important. I think that's a big point for parents to remember, that any of us, when we've just suffered a blow or we're not feeling too great about ourselves, that's not the time when we want someone to come and question how we're doing and probe us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me of a dream.
Oh, good.
And, I think it might be my favorite dream of my whole life.
Wow, this is exciting.
You've never heard it. This is it.
Okay.
So I was pitching, and I'm pitching, and it was the ninth inning, and my dad was watching, and I couldn't remember if I was pitching as a 12-year-old for the Alcoa Seals Little mm-hmm. League team, or if maybe I was pitching for the Mariners. It was one of those things, like I had the dream when I was probably 40.
Oh, okay.
But I'm pitching, my dad's watching, and with two outs in the ninth inning, there's a guy on third and the score is 0-0, and I try to pick him off and I throw a wild throw and the guy jogs home. We lose 1-0. And my dad, after mm-hmm. the game, in the dream, he grabbed me by the hand, held my hand, and we walked over and got snow cones.
Oh.
And, you know.
I like that part.
Yeah, and he never said, which is the obvious thing, that nobody in their right mind tries to pick a runner off third with two outs in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. That would just be a bad, terrible idea. Mm-hmm. But it's like he never said that. No lecture. Let's just go get some snow cones. Mm-hmm. This is over.
Which is such a great dream. But even in reality, mm-hmm. I think that we would recommend the same thing.
Yeah.
Timing, right? I think it's okay sometimes if maybe even a day later you would want to say, hey, I was just wondering what about that strategy, that move.
What the heck you were thinking?
And so that might be an okay thing with some kids, but mostly they're going to figure it out and hear it from their coach.
Right.
Yeah.
But in order to be that kind of dad, like mm-hmm. my dad was in my dream, mm-hmm. and he really was kind of like that.
Yeah.
He was pretty fantastic. So I think to be like that, again, we have to regulate our emotions. I'm reminded of another dad who, during those times when I was getting all worked up about the soccer reffing, mm-hmm. He would wander off by himself and just like be 50 yards away from the rest of the dads. And I remember one time walking over and, you know, chatting with him. And I said, yeah, so what are you doing? He says, I just got to be here. I cannot be close to everybody who's cheering. It just, I will lose control, he said. So he was using a coping strategy.
Mm-hmm, which is great. I mean, he probably planned ahead. He knew himself. He had some self-awareness about what position to put himself in so he could be a supportive parent.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what the insurance people say, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
Okay. So, you know, in speaking of planning, a thought that I have on planning is that really perspective, mm-hmm. I think, can be helpful. When your child is out there, we all have different reasons why we're getting emotionally triggered and worked up. But I think remembering that this is one piece of your child's life, all of our kids are made up of so many different components, and their being an athlete is only one piece of that. And I think holding on to that perspective is probably helpful.
Yeah, I hear you saying take a step back, mm-hmm. gain some perspective. Mm-hmm. This is not the most important thing in your child's life, in your life, in the moment. There are other things too.
Right.
Perspective.
We've talked about so many of the benefits. You know, one of the benefits really that I think is huge and can't be overstated is that since 1999, did you know that the rates of obesity for children have gone up every single year? So that means 18 years in a row. So there are, you know, it's just another thing to keep in mind. We want to keep this a positive, encouraging activity so that kids keep doing it because, I mean, the benefits really are big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another benefit, and this was, I'm talking about myself too much, but mm-hmm. when I was a senior in high school, our football team was 0-10.
Mm.
That's not a good season.
That's not good. That
meant like 0 wins, 10 losses. And then I went to college and I played college football and I was at a community college, Mount Hood Community College. We were awesome.
Hmm.
We were 10-0.
Nice.
10 wins, no losses.
That was probably more fun.
Well, when I compare the seasons, in some ways I feel like I learned more and I grew more losing 10 games in a row than I did winning 10 games in a row. I know that's a weird perspective, and I certainly would not give up that 10-0 season.
Right.
But it I remember thinking, wow, that 0-10 season was really important. I learned a lot about myself. I learned about my teammates. I learned about how you hang together during tough times. Mm-hmm. And I learned that it's okay to lose.
Yeah. I think that's a really good message. I think that's something that us as parents and our kids could stand to learn is that losing has benefits too. You know, nobody goes through life and doesn't lose at something. Everybody loses at something, and to be able to tolerate that mm-hmm. and walk away and know that you learned something is a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I could get into some of my pet peeves now, but I'm going to censor myself.
We don't have all day.
And let's go to some money tips.
Okay.
Cha-ching. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. My money tip has four parts.
Okay.
Are you ready, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Part one. Get your emotional act together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that involves like being aware of our emotions and trying to deal with them more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, make an excellent plan. So really, how are you going to deal with it? That one guy that I knew who used to walk away from the rest of the fans, That might be a really good strategy for some parents.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, make a backup plan because you know the first plan is probably going to fail. I'm kind of being funny. But yeah, you know, I think it is good to have a backup plan. And then to practice and visualize your sport parenting performance. We know performance can be enhanced by rehearsal. And mm-hmm. so I think it's good for us to imagine ourselves being that really supportive and positive, encouraging sport parent.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like all four of them. And what I'm going to add to that is to really get curious about what this whole sporting thing means to us as mm-hmm. parents. You know, we're in the counseling field. Mm-hmm. So I think having that self-awareness and being curious and having some insight about what is triggering us is important to do first, maybe even before the tips that you just gave, right? Because I think in order to really understand why am I feeling this big thing that I just can't stop myself from screaming something negative, to figure out where that's coming from and what this means to us is an important exploration.
Yeah, to make a good plan and to be proactive probably takes some self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some people might be reacting because they didn't do as well at baseball and now they're really wanting their kid to do mm-hmm. better than they did. I mean, there's just a host of reasons why we're being triggered by what our kids are doing.
And probably pretty individualized.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes we end up, I think some parents have told me they end up acting like their parents did, which was not how they want to act. That's another factor. Mm-hmm.
That's the default that happens so often when we don't explore what's going on with us. So the self-awareness piece, big thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Got any resources, Sarah?
I do. One is a really good website called Educated Sports Parent. I think that's, yes, I would highly recommend that one.
Let's be an educated sports parent mm-hmm. as opposed to an uneducated one.
Right. And then the other one is by Mike Matheny. He has what's called the Matheny Manifesto. He's mm-hmm. a former pro baseball player and has really good things to say. It's really, he's talking to coaches about how they would talk to parents. And the things he has to say really, I think, translate into better outcomes for kids.
I don't know anything about that, but I've always wanted to write a manifesto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mine, mm-hmm. I just am going to say the same thing I said last time.
Okay.
I really like the book, Changing the Game, The Parent's Guide to Raising Happy, High-Performing Athletes and Giving Youth Sports Back to Our Kids by John O. Sullivan. I think maybe I like his name.
Well, I think that since you repeated the same resource that we did in the last episode, and I had two new ones that I beat you, I won. I'm a winner. You're not? Ha ha.
And you're really a good sport, too. But fortunately, I have learned how to lose gracefully. Sarah, you are the champion today. But watch out.
Thanks for listening. The Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast is sponsored in part by the Charles Englehart Foundation, audio engineer Mike Matthews, production assistant Joey Moore, and co-hosts Sarah Polinchek and John Summers Flanagan.